This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is already almost over. Put a smile on your face, and here's what we have on tap for tonight. It's debate night on the Jesse Kelly Show. You're going to have to wait. That's going to start here a minute or two from now. We're going to cook off a heated debate. Can't wait for that. I know you're thinking I'm going to be doing the debating. That would be unfair because I would just dominate whoever I debated. What, Chris? I'm going to let someone else handle all that. I'm just going to moderate it. All right. So it's debate night. We have to talk about military recruiting, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs, the whole Ukraine thing, what's happening on the world stage, worth digging into, an inflation problem coming, one that people aren't thinking about. Does Disney really want to quiet the noise in the culture war? And an FBI agent flee the country? All that and so much more is coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And before we get to any of that, I thought it would be appropriate to open the show. If we could just take a minute here and pass along a little bit of wisdom, courtesy of Dome.
You know that old story about the two frogs and the pots of water? Okay, so here you're a good storyteller. I'm going to tell you a quick story. So two frogs and two pots of water. So in one pot of water, you drop the frog in, and you slowly turn up the heat. And that frog will be like, oh, it's getting a little warm in here. And then that water starts to boil, and that frog perishes. In the other pot of water, you turn up the heat to the point it's boiling. You drop the frog in it, it'll jump right out. Let's not be that first frog.
Boom. That's what I'm talking about. Something to keep in mind for the future. All right. It's time for debate night. And I know you're sitting there and you're excited. I'm excited. Who doesn't love a good fight, right? But tonight, we are going to actually have two communists debate each other. Communist number one. That is 2020. Kathy Hochul.
Despite where they came from or despite the circumstances that drove them to this country and to this state, we say you are welcome here. We are welcome with open arms and we'll work to keep you safe. We'll not only house you, but we'll protect you. And the richness of the culture and the diversity and the food and the restaurants that we know are going to be coming because of these efforts are beyond measure. It's an extraordinary part of our story. And it's woven into the story of New York.
Where they're coming from.
Man, that is so touching, isn't it? 2020 Kathy Hochul. Come on in, illegals. The richness of our culture. We are here for you. But I would like to know... What actually, that was 2022 Kathy Hochul. Sorry, I said 2020. I'd like to know what 2022 Kathy Hochul has to say to 2021 Kathy Hochul.
We have to let the word out. We're at our limit. If you're going to leave your country, go somewhere else.
What happened to the richness of the culture? It's in the restaurants. Don't she talked about all the. I distinctly remember her saying there were restaurants. What do you mean she's at their. Limit. What did the restaurants go out of business?
Despite where they came from or despite the circumstances that drove them to this country and to this state, we say you are welcome here. We are welcome with open arms and we'll work to keep you
safe.
Open
arms.
We'll not only house you, but we'll protect you. And the richness of the culture and the diversity and the food and the restaurants that we know.
The diversity and the food and the restaurants, the richness of the culture. They will house you. They will protect you. Well, Kathy... What do you have to say to Kathy?
You have to be certain that you're not going to take support a policy that's going to draw more people because places like New York really are at capacity. You know, we have large hearts. You want to be generous and supportive to people who are experiencing a humanitarian crisis, but there is a limit to what we can do.
Whoa. I guess the richness of the culture is tapped, baby. Always make the communist live under communism. That is the fatal flaw of communism, always has been, always will be. What is that fatal flaw? Well, the fatal flaw It sucks. That's the fatal flaw. Oh, before we switch topics here, because we're going to do a big military world global turning World War III. Like, we're going to do this big thing here in just a moment as you kind of wander through my mind on this stuff. But before we get to that, remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours of the show are dedicated to you and the questions you email in to me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. It doesn't have to be political. Whatever it is, we will tackle it tomorrow, all day. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, what is happening? Well, yesterday, and this is gonna tie back into this new chairman of the Joint Chiefs and stuff like that, so just stay with me, because all this stuff is one big package deal. Yesterday, Volodymyr Zelensky, the big cheese in Ukraine, came to America to, well, beg for money. What he wanted was money. You saw all the photo ops all throughout Congress. Lindsey Graham about soiled his granny panties. Oh my gosh, Volodymyr is here. Mitch McConnell was there. Oh, Volodymyr, I love you. Hold on, I forgot where I was. And then Chuck Schumer was there. It's Volodymyr, Chris. It's not Vladimir. It's Volodymyr. See, Chris, that's because you're an uncultured human being. I can spell. It's Volodymyr. Or Vlad, as I like to call him. Anyway, Vlad was here. Why was he here? Well, he's here for a couple different reasons. Obviously, he's here begging for money. But this was a different kind of an ask. And it was a different kind of an ask because the dam, the Ukraine dam, the Russia dam, is cracking. I have always, and I know you're probably going to throw something at the radio, so just let me explain myself. I've always actually sympathized with Zelensky. And here's why I've sympathized with him. He is from a smaller country than Russia, a weaker country than Russia, a corrupt country. Ukraine is a corrupt country the same way Russia is. It's a very corrupt place. He knows all these things. Russia invades. Zelensky, if you want to hang on to all of your country and not lose the portions of it Russia wants for itself, you have to fight them off. You don't have the ability to fight them off. You instead have to try to make it all about the globe and freedom. You have to make this everyone's fight. And he did that very successfully. He got the United Nations, NATO, all these. What? Ukraine isn't even part of NATO. He got NATO all in on the whole thing. You have to make it all about everybody. This is about everyone. Democracy's at stake, right? And so he did. And Germany and America and all these countries, they're sending all these munitions and they're sending all these guys over there to train everybody. And yeah, it's everyone's fight. Putin sucks. Go Ukraine. The problem for Volodymyr is this. He always knew there was a shelf life on how long the whole Ukrainian cause was going to last for people, because it's extremely expensive, because nations don't want to send their own young men, their own young women to die. For a while, they'll send munitions. For a while, they'll send money. But there's always, always, always a time limit on war. It doesn't matter what the war is. Whether it's, I don't want to call it smaller because 500,000 people is no joke, but whether it's a smaller conflict, 500,000 people in Ukraine, or whether it's World War I, World War II. Remember, we look back on World War I, World War II, hindsight's 2020. There were all kinds of talks by every side, high-level talks about ending things at several points during the war. We're out of money. We're out of lives. We don't have food. We need to stop. Hitler, hey, we need to stop. America, maybe we should stop. Churchill, gosh, maybe we should. This is what happens. There was always going to be a shelf life on it. And now the dam is beginning to crack. You see, Poland, it just announced, hey, no more for Ukraine. And I would play you the audio, except the Polish guy doing the audio version of it is speaking in Polish. He essentially says, it's a drowning man who can't be saved. We're not helping them. We're not helping anybody. We're done with the whole army Ukraine thing. But it's more than Poland, you see.
You remember how it was 99-1, that Senate vote for arming Ukraine? Well, yesterday, this was Rand Paul, United States Senator.
Joe Biden could approve $113 billion of money to Ukraine, and yet he has not tried to get this American journalist out of prison there? How is that possible?
It's even worse than that, Maria. They've canceled the elections. What kind of democracy has no election? So next year, Zelensky said he's not going to have an election because it would be inconvenient during the war and would be expensive. Well, the thing is, if you don't have elections, why in the world would be supporting a country that's not a democracy? They've banned the political parties. They've invaded churches. They've arrested priests. So, no, it isn't a democracy. It's a corrupt regime. And are the Russians any better? No, the Russians are worse. But at the same time, we don't always have to pick some side to be on. But the ultimate reason I'm against this is we don't have the money. And when we borrow more money, it leads to more inflation, leads to more likelihood of...
Okay, so the dam is cracking. What comes next? We will talk about that in just a moment. By the way, we have BK on to discuss these things here in 20 minutes or so, too. I wonder what BK's T levels are. I don't want to ask him because you know BK's T levels, you know they're probably through the roof. And you know he would just waste the entire segment talking about his T levels and talking about how muscular he is. Everyone knows these things are coming. I don't even have the heart for it today. So we're not going to ask him. You need to get on a male vitality stack so you too can have ab veins like BK. You want to get on a female vitality stack. You want to get on chocolate powder. You want to take natural herbal supplements and avoid big pharma filth. And maybe you've been thinking about going to find all these wonderful chalk products, but you've been hesitant to spend the money. Well, now is the time because it's 99% off the first month. Up to $70 is 99% off. CHOQ.com code Jesse99 is the only way you get that deal. You've been wanting to try it? Now's the time. Chuck.com code Jesse99. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, reminding you that the world famous Jesse Kelly Show is not really going anywhere. I don't actually have to remind you of anything at all. The show's just going to remain the same. It is available on podcast, though, on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. The iHeart Radio app is free, so you can answer. You can listen at your leisure. Remember, Chris, I say leisure now instead of leisure because it sounds more fancy. What, Chris? It does. And I'm going to start drinking with my pinky out. Did you see Merrick Garland yesterday? We'll get back to the Ukraine thing in a moment. One of the most subtle psycho things I've ever seen. He drank from his water bottle with both hands. Chris, you didn't see it? Michael, did you see it? No, Chris, like a toddler, like your Kamala Harris in a job interview, both handing it. I'm not even kidding. Both hands on a water bottle. Craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Gosh, what a nutball. All right, so what's going on? And this is important for everyone. This is on the world stage. We're talking about the Russia-Ukraine stuff here really quickly before we get to BK and some other things. So people are starting to pull back. There was a letter that was signed by many senators and members of the House saying, sorry, there's no more money for Ukraine. Poland saying, hey, Ukraine's toast. I've had several people tell me on record and off record that it looks like they're talking to Ukraine behind closed doors and letting them know the clock is officially ticking. People have had enough. They're still going out in public and putting a brave face on it as if this will last forever, though. This was Jake Sullivan.
There's not a single dollar amount that is necessary for all time. We need funding to keep going, meaning that if, for example, the Congress passed a shorter package, you could have a proportional amount or a longer package, etc. We will want to see additional funding for Ukraine after the end of the fiscal year, so after September 30th, meaning that we would like additional resources from the Congress on October 1st to be able to ensure that there's no disruption in the supply of funding to
Ukraine.
And at what
point would there be a disruption? If we pass, what date would there be a disruption, given the fears about this not passing?
Well, I mean, there's a sliding scale of disruption, but the day after the funds lapse or run out at the end of the fiscal year, there would be a break if we do not get the funding starting October 1st. That's why we are making the case to the Congress that we should see additional funding at that time.
Oh, we need endless funding. Oh, after the year? Oh my gosh, of course after the year. It's unpredictable. And I love how he pulls that out this time. But what do you mean open check? What? Well, it's unpredictable.
Are you telling congressional leaders about how much more aid is needed to ensure Ukraine can win the war, not just sustain the war?
Well, we've put forward a proposal. We've actually laid out in some detail every element of assistance that we believe is necessary to get us to the end of this year, and then we have begun talking to them about what next year looks like as well. War is inherently unpredictable, of course. So I can't look you in the eye, and I certainly can't look them in the eye and predict exactly what's going to happen on exactly what timetable, and therefore...
Yeah, okay, so they're still begging for it, but the dam is cracking. Which leads me, we're going to get to the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs and other things, but it leads me to a meeting Zelensky had while he was over here, and this is the part that affects all of us. All right, so you're Volodymyr Zelensky. I almost call him Volodymyr. You're Volodymyr Zelensky. You're the big cheese in a country that is losing a war, and it's going to lose some territory, and it's going to be fairly war-torn after the war's finally over. That sounds like it's a bad thing for Zelensky, right? It's certainly a bad thing for the poor people of Ukraine, but it sounds like it's a bad thing for Zelensky. In the end, though, it's going to work out fine because Zelensky had a little meeting while he was here in America. Who did he sit down and meet with? JP Morgan, Google, and Blackstone. Why would he sit down with the axis of evil of J.P. Morgan, Google, and Blackstone? Why are the Clintons involved? The Clinton Global Initiative. Why are all these things happening? Well, here's why all these things are happening. Because the world's elites, they're going to use Ukraine like a gigantic money laundering playground to build it back up. Once Vladimir Putin declares the war to be over, once he declares all the property he wants, he already has, Ukraine, you can have whatever's left, Zelensky is going to find himself a very wealthy man as he manages the billions and billions of dollars that are about to flow through his country. Will some things get built in that country? Oh, there's no question about it. Is this some gigantic money-washing process to ensure the world's elites are more powerful and richer than they are then, more so than now? You bet it is. What you're about to see is they're about to treat Ukraine like a big communist lab experiment. The world's elites. Ukraine is about to become the World Economic Forum's headquarters on the global stage, which brings us to the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs. In fact, it brings us to the great BK, former Air Force PJ. We're going to talk about Ukraine, my thoughts on that, the Joint Chiefs, and so much more is still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. I wonder if BK's ever used the Mantis X. I bet he has. I wonder if the Air Force PJs used them, because I know the Green Berets used them. The Green Berets use Mantis X. Did you realize that? And it's the same Mantis X you use. When I tell you to get Mantis X sent to your home and practice, dry fire practice in the comfort of your home and go through the drills and get better, you know that that's not, you know, a civilian version of Mantis X, right? That is Mantis X. That's the one Special Forces uses. It's the one the Marines use. You're training like the pros train. 90% of your shooting should be dry fire practice. The pros will tell you that. You understand how good you can get with your weapon without firing a shot and the comfort of your home. Whether you're a beginner who's a little nervous or one of these super pros who's been shooting for 30 years, go to MantisX.com and get one. And these are amazing gifts for the shooter, new and old in your life, by the way. MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I can't believe BK actually picked a good song. He actually picked Korn. That was Korn, right? Oh, man, I miss Korn. Korn back in the day was freaking legendary. Joining me now, former Air Force PJ, host of World News with BK. BK, did you ever go to a Korn concert? I went to a Korn, Kid Rock, and Metallica concert one time in Denver. Man, it was freaking epic.
Oh, man, dude, I wish. They were, you know, they're out here from, they're from out here in Riverside. And when they came out, like, nobody had ever heard anything like that before. It was just, like, so heavy, dude. And, like, yeah, that was the band to be around in, like, the late 90s for sure.
That was the band to hang around in the late 90s if you did not have a drug test the next day. That was a wild concert. But we're going to move on to some other things. BK, the new chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Well, I mean, here he is, BK.
And the last thing I would say on that is how we encourage and mentor some of those diverse candidates, because sometimes they may feel like they're not qualified and not put their name in. And we've got to actually nudge and pull and actually purposely manage to ensure that we have diverse candidates that can compete. And if they need some help in certain areas with coaching or additional training or additional.
BK, why do we need a diverse military? No one's ever been able to properly explain to me why the military needs to be diverse. Could you explain that to me?
Yeah, Jesse, you know, the talking point is, well, we can't have a diverse force led by a whiter officer corps. Of course, that would be outrageous if you said something like, well, listen, we can't have an African-American ranger commander because, you know, the rangers are overwhelmingly white, maybe Hispanic, but it's like 90% white. I mean, it would be outrageous to suggest that these white enlisted troops would not be able to follow the directions of the orders of a person of color leading them. That would be seen as just the stupidest thing you could ever imagine. And yet, if you say the reverse, that is the conventional wisdom among this. It's complete nonsense. Jesse, as you know, the one thing that keeps the military together is the melting pot. It's possibly the biggest melting pot in America. Jesse, I was just on Marine Corps Recruit Depot out here in San Diego, where the recruits graduate from on the West Coast. I go to the gym there, and I see every single color of recruits you can imagine, and they all come together, and they all get drilled into the same ethos, the United States of America, the Corps, the Eagle, Globe and Anchor, the whole thing. And the color does not matter. And you'll see, and I'm sure you knew, Jesse, when you were enlisted, you'll see some ghetto kid from a big city become best friends with some redneck white kid from southern Mississippi. And that happens every single day. And all you're doing with this crap is just putting up a divisive barrier in between that and not allowing the melting pot to happen. And for the Joint Chiefs to suggest that all these guys need like special help to get along. I mean, why not? We're already doing that with the enlisted corps. They proudly announced, Jesse, that we have a special classes now for people too dumb to pass the ASVAB. For those of you who don't know, that's the test to get into the military. And they're like proud of it. And they're like, yeah, we're keeping this program perfectly. It's worked out great. Jesse, I could throw darts and pass the ASVAB. It's not that hard. And it's just a sad commentary, I think. We're just dumbing down everything. There's no demand for excellence. And it's just really sad for me to watch.
Yeah, as everybody knows, I'm borderline mentally challenged, and I got an 87 on the ASVAB. If you need special assistance to pass the ASVAB, you are not doing all that well. All right, BK, one of the things that blows me away, again, we're speaking to BK, former Air Force PJ, host of the World News with BK, is they double down on everything that's not working. It is true that we have a young generation that's too fat and unhealthy to join the military. So they have so many waiver problems already, so many drug problems, because every daggone kid's on anxiety medication today. On top of all these problems, you have all the woke fill stuff, but they won't stop on that, BK. They double down on everything. We can't afford any more of a recruiting crisis than we have now.
I know, Jesse, this is like, I've said it many times in the podcast, it's almost like a religious cult. You see things, you know it's all nonsense, you know none of it works, and yet there's this like faith in it, like this is the way, and if you speak out against it, you're some kind of heretic. So it really does remind me of people speaking out against religious brainwashing, and I feel that's what it is. These diversity, equity, and inclusion movement in America, it's a massive, massive multi-billion dollar business. Many, many people are making very good money on it. And I don't know. I just don't see how it goes away anytime soon. And all I do is I look around and I see these troops and I'm like, there's a distinct lack of people who are jacked, tan, have great hair. That's the first thing I'm looking for when I see my killer troops. I want them to look like me with the 18-inch biceps. I want the ab veins sneaking down into the upper thighs, Jesse. I want aesthetically pleasing troops, Jesse Kelly.
You know, I spent some time at that MCRD San Diego myself. That's where I went to boot, BK. And I've got to be honest with you, buddy. I never did see the gym. I bet they have a sweet gym, but I never got to see it. All I got to see were the crappy parts of it.
No, it's nice. The outdoor, it's a great gym. It's got an outdoor section. And actually today, Thursday is family day, and then Friday is the graduation. So every Thursday and Friday, you know, you get out there and you're all like swole as like a retiree or a DI, and you get to watch all the parents and recruits walk by afraid to make eye contact. You know, that's when I kind of like, I kind of throw up the heavy kettlebells just to give them a glimpse of the ideal male physique, Jesse. I leave them in a little bit of awe.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. BK, the rumor mill is a swirling, and this is one that you're much more tapped into than even I am. It feels like the old piggy bank for Ukraine is running out. Poland has kind of said, we're done with all this. I'm hearing from people I trust that Ukraine is being told behind closed doors, hey, man, you've got about to the end of the year, and this stuff's going to have to stop. What are you hearing?
You know, I'm here. I don't have a lot of contacts in the higher echelons, but it's a numbers game, Jesse. I mean, how much weapons can Poland possibly produce? Germany's military was on life support before this war even kicked off. Half of their planes were incapable of flying, and they're sending them tanks. How many tanks do they have to give to go over to Ukraine and immediately get pulverized by landmines? Anti-tank guided missiles. I mean, you've seen the videos on social media, Jesse. These million-dollar vehicles are being destroyed by the thousands, along with thousands of lives on both sides. It's a human tragedy, and it's a numbers game. There's only so many shells that you can manufacture. There's only so many tanks and howitzers and even guns and javelins. There's only so many of those. They take time. This isn't like, you know, making little widgets. These things are complex pieces of machinery. It takes time to spin up production. And after a while, Poland's going to be like, hey, we have our own problems. We too have a border with Russia, and we can't afford to let our military readiness degrade. Now, the U.S. is the big player here, but even we, at a certain point, like how many 155-millimeter howitzers are we going to watch get destroyed before we're like, well, we have to have our own stockpile here. So I don't know. I mean, I feel bad for both sides over there. I would hope that Ukraine would be able to repel an invasion. But at a certain point, I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's just a tragedy on both sides. It honestly sickens me watching some of those videos on social media.
Yeah, you know what sickens me, BK, and I'm certainly not dismissive of anything the infantryman, the regular grunt, goes through between getting shot and blown up and disease and everything else. But man, when I see tankers get blown up in their tanks, I feel the same way I do about those old naval World War II battles you read about, and those guys are on the ships and everything's blowing up and burning around them. Dude, screw all that. I'd rather be out on the ground digging my fighting hole than in one of those tanks, knowing a missile might be coming up my rear end any minute. How about you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, those things, you know, that's the biggest target on the field, you know, as one guy, maybe you have a chance to run off, and they're like, they see you. And now we have the drone warfare and everything else going on, Jesse. So maybe they see you and be like, well, that's one guy, you know, he can leave. We're going to focus on those 12 fighting vehicles carrying like a dozen troops each. And maybe you have a shot. Hell, at least you could maybe surrender. When you're on one of those, man, that is a big bullet and missile sponge, and I wouldn't want to be in any one of those vehicles.
No, thank you. It is the World News with BK Podcast. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Yeah, no thanks, man. I had a bunch of boys who were tankers. A bunch of my buddies were tankers. Nope. They even asked me to get in one once in Iraq. We weren't in combat. It was just we were kind of chilling out. I said, nah, I'm good right here. I'm good to go. You know what's not good to go? Abortion. Abortion's not good to go. It's pretty much the worst thing ever. And we've sanitized it in this country with our language to the point where people think it's just nothing. It's just a medical procedure. People don't know that women genuinely do not know that it's a life. And they won't know until you buy them an ultrasound, until preborn gives them an ultrasound. As we speak, as you're hearing the sound of my voice, young women are out there and they're seeking abortions. They want them. They think it's a clump of cells. They're scared. They're uncertain. They want an abortion. And preborn is stepping in, stepping right into that woman's life and saying, hey, young lady, how about a free ultrasound? She will hear the heartbeat and she will choose life. They choose life almost every time. That's what your $28 buys. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. All right? Sponsored by Preborn.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I want everybody to know, well, not the podcast listeners, because the podcast listeners missed that Phil Collins song, but I want everyone else to know, listen to Phil Collins. That's what happens every time I get an email to this show insulting the great Phil Collins. All that's going to get you is more Phil, and then more Phil, and then more Phil. You know what we're going to do? We're going to fill you up with Phil. That's what... You know what? I didn't actually think about how that sounded when it came out. If I had to do that over again, I would not have done that. You know what? Forget about that. Forget it. Fill you up with Phil is not something we're actually going to run with on the show. We are going to run with Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, though. That's tomorrow. You have to email the show your questions. I'll answer all of them. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now, Chuck Schumer got up. New York's very own Chuck Schumer got up. And he's talking about the military appointments. I need to clarify something here. These military appointments. Well, listen to Schumer first.
I have just filed cloture on the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the commandant of the Marine Corps, and the Army Chief of Staff. These men should have already been confirmed. They should already be serving in their new positions. The Senate should not have to go through procedural hoops just to please one brazen and misguided senator. And the abortion policy that Senator Tuberville abhors will remain in place. Senator Tuberville will have accomplished nothing. But the harm he is doing to the military and their families remains, and unfortunately continues for hundreds of others.
The harm he's doing. Oh, we'll get to that in just a moment. I just want to clarify, just so everyone's clear on the facts on what Tuberville is doing. What was the holdup? What is the holdup with the military appointments? Well, this country is run by communists, and so is the military, and communists love abortion because communists love death and destruction. So they decided you, the taxpayer, the military, should be paying for these abortions. Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, to his credit, is mortified by that. And even if you're not mortified by that, that's illegal. As Tuberville has pointed out several times, they're not allowed to do this, yet they're doing it anyway. It's against the law. So there's a thing called unanimous consent. Right? Unanimous consent. What is unanimous consent? I won't break down all the painfully boring details that I'm very sorry I know about. Unanimous consent is simply this. They gather all kinds of generals and wannabe generals and admirals and wannabe admirals, all these big fancy five-star guys. Well, some of these are colonels. Either way, big fancy officer types who are in line for their next big promotion. And instead of having some up or down, yes or no Senate vote on each and every one of them, what unanimous consent is it's essentially, hey, just throw all these names in a big bucket and just give me the bucket and we'll stamp it approved and they're all approved. That's really what it is. It's a fast and easy process. You don't have to go through each and every individual one. You just automatically go in, boop, stamp it approved. Tuberville has the authority to put a stop on that. If any senator steps in and says, no, I don't sign on, then that stops. Tuberville stepped in and said, nope, I'm not signing on. That does not, it does not stop the United States Senate. It does not stop Chuck Schumer from bringing in each and every person in line for a promotion and getting a Senate vote on that person and getting that person promoted. If Chuck Schumer wants, Chuck Schumer can have every one of these admirals and generals promoted if they are approved by vote by the Senate. It's important everyone is clear on that. All Tuberville is doing is making it harder for them to promote all of these people. And as we're about to go off on military recruitment and other things, I do think it's important we address something else Chuck Schumer said in here. Something that really, really bothers me.
I have just filed cloture on the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yeah, that's the fastest part. Hold on a second. We'll try here.
Nothing. But the harm he is doing to the military and their families remains and unfortunately continues for hundreds of others.
The harm he is doing to the military and their families. Many people, most people have not served. So you probably have not served. Anyone who has served will back up what I'm about to tell you. Holding a two-star general back from getting his third star does not affect anybody. It doesn't affect the general. It doesn't affect anybody in his command. Doesn't affect anyone in the command he's going to. These gigantic, self-important generals and admirals aren't worth near what the public seems to think they're worth. And in the past, we've always understood this. Today, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, we look at these guys with all these medals and ribbons on their chest and these all these stars. Look at that general. Look at that admiral. And we automatically hold them up in this lofty position. You go back at like times like World War II, they would just fire admirals and generals like they were nothing. Like they were fast food employees. Like you just dump the backup guy who was working at the fry counter. You just tell this admiral, sorry, you're fired. That was stupid. Sorry, you're gone. That's dumb. Sorry, goodbye. And after they're done firing them, they would then drag them in front of Congress and brutally interrogate them for horrible mistakes they made or things they did wrong. We used to treat these high up military officers the way they should be treated. Instead, today, because all these military officers have learned how to kiss all the right butt and check all the correct woke buttons, now they're all treated with some sainted reverence as if they're all war heroes when that ain't near the case. The war heroes are the men and women on the ground. Those are the ones who actually do the fighting. And more importantly, those are the ones who actually do the dying. You do remember those 13 in Afghanistan, right? When's the last time you went back and checked the ranks on any of those 13? Oh, I've read their names many times on the air. It's funny. Maybe I'll have to go back and read again. I don't remember reading about a single general or admiral or even colonel who was among those casualties. Because the generals do the talking and the butt kissing and the soldiers do the dying. And that brings me to a serious problem we have. Our new chief of staff in recruiting. All that's still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.